Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were speaking about the need to do the right things for the right reasons, have the right goals, not be hypocritical, not be living just for this world. And so often that's what we do. We're consumed by the values and the priorities of this world, when in reality, we're going to live for all eternity. We are going to live for all eternity. This life is not all there is. And people think that the 70 or 80 years, sometimes a little more, of this life are all that is, and therefore they spend their lives focusing on material goals, earthly goals, that most often eat them up. So let's get clear. We're on this earth for a time. We're on this earth, in a certain sense, to work out our salvation, to follow the Lord, to make choice. It's a free choice. But we need to make it. You don't drift into heaven. How many times have I said that? You just don't, brothers and sisters. And given the way the world is today and how aggressive it is in its values, all the more do we need to be very clear about who we are and where we're going. The first reading today, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 25 to 31. Brothers and sisters, in regard to virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy, though this is what I think best because of the present distress, that it is a good thing for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife to seek a separation? Are you free of a wife? Do not look for a wife. If you marry, however, you do not sin, nor does an unmarried woman sin if she marries. But such people will experience affliction in their earthly life. And I would like to spare you that. He's speaking of some particular circumstances in their lives. And what do we do about commitments? How do we maintain them? Do we just give them up? Where do we go? How do we think just about life in general and the decisions that every day we need to make, and especially decisions? Am I going to marry? Am I going to live a celibate life? How am I offering myself to God for His purposes? Either way, it's you can make the choice. You can make the choice. But whatever choice you make, then live it out well. I tell you, brothers, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Those weeping is not weeping. Those rejoicing is not rejoicing. Those buying as not owning. Those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. In other words, brothers and sisters, your roots, your values, your priorities, your goals have to be built into the realization, has to be dead center in your life. The realization that I am a child of God, that I am born into this world as the first steps in moving toward eternal life. We will live forever. That's the truth. Don't let people tell you anything else. You are going to live forever. So how do you live this life so that you may live forever in a kingdom of justice and peace and joy that God has for us? It's not just, as my dad used to say, a pipe dream. It's real. Psalm 45, listen to me, daughter. See and bend your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. So shall the king desire your beauty. For he is your Lord. You must worship him. There are a number of levels which we can understand that. But the important point right now is to say it's God first. It's his plan. It's his will for my life that I want. And so we need to be saying to the Lord, Lord, here's what I'd like to do with my life. Is this in accord with what you want? Or do you have another plan? If you're praying every day, if you're associating yourself with good Christians, with good Catholics every day, you will grow. Your wisdom will grow. It will become clearer. You'll be able to slough off the ways of the world a lot more easily. If you're reading his word every day, if you're going to Mass as often as you can, if you're in the sacrament of confession a lot, we need to go a lot these days. If you're really living your life in a rhythm of worship and praise of God, of petition for the needs of others, if you're making decisions in your own personal life that are in accord with God's will, you can't be lax. You can't just say, okay, taking care of all that, now I can drift. No, you can't. We have to be alert at every moment. And you say, ah, that's too hard. That's too much. What would you pay if you knew that you were going to live forever and you were going to live in a kingdom of justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? If you really believed that, what kind of life would you live here? And what the scriptures are telling us is that's true. That's not a pipe dream. It's not a figment of our imagination. Jesus told us, I go before you to prepare a place for you. And then he will come and bring us to himself. It's true. And we need to start living out of that reality. 70 or 80 years is not the sum of my life. My life will go on forever. When I am united with Christ, my life becomes eternal in him and with him. And it's true. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." If you've chosen the kingdom over the world, there are some ways in which we are poor, and I'm not just speaking materially. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Blessed are you when we take ridicule, when we're passed over for promotion because we're, quote, too Christian. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. We have the whole history of salvation in the scriptures, and we see how the prophets who followed the Lord, who spoke the word of the Lord, who called people to truth, who were denounced, who were criticized, many of whom were condemned to death. But they persevered and they triumphed in the end. And so will we, if we do what the Lord asks of us. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich. That is, it's not just because you have money. That's not what God is saying. Rich in the things of this world that has blinded you and deafened you to the eternal values. The people with great wealth who are living simply for this life. And they have no values or concerns outside making as much money as they can. Woe to you who are rich. That's what he means by that, where riches are the center of your life, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. If you're filled with the things of this world, if you're saying, oh, I'm happy, I'm satisfied now, I have this, you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, you will grieve and weep. If your values are not the values of the kingdom, you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Brothers and sisters, I know I'm repeating myself, but even at this moment as I'm speaking, I just sense the Lord encouraging us, saying to us, come, follow me. Come, give up the world's values. Doesn't mean that you have to leave the world. You can be in the world, but not of it. Takes great grace from God. Takes God sharing himself with us. But if we ask him for it and we pray every day, he will give it. You can be in the world, but not of it. But so often we've lived in the world and we've absorbed its values. Our pride gets in the way. Our arrogance, our selfishness gets in the way. And we make choices that are not the choices we should be making, and perhaps even the choices that we don't want to make. Some people wake up and say, how did I ever get here? How did I ever get into this quandary, into this mess? However did I get into this dead-end situation? It's because you made choices along the way that took you away from God's will and away from God's purpose. God can redeem that. But the point is that we need to examine ourselves. We need to see if, in fact, I'm going the right way. If I'm not, stop. Stop right now. Whatever you're doing, get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've chosen the ways of the world over you. I'm trying to combine them. Living a compromised life is not going to lead you to the kingdom of heaven. Well, most of the things I do are okay. There's just a few bad things. Don't settle for that, because one of those bad things could lead you eternally astray. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just telling you the truth. But if you spend time in prayer daily, if you frequent the sacraments, if at all possible find other people that think like you and you can help one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another, those are the things you need to decide to do. Otherwise, the values of the world do entice us. They do. They seduce us in some ways because their origin is not from God. We all have weak places. We all have areas that we'd rather not look at or talk about. But they're the areas where we're most vulnerable to the enticements and the lies of the devil. What we need to do is put ourselves under the protection of God. I've mentioned this before, but take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, especially the last part of it. I don't have a Bible at this moment right in front of me, but it begins in a section in chapter 6, the last chapter, where it says, put on the whole armor of God. Read that. I have a CD teaching on that that might be helpful to you. But let's, brothers and sisters, together, let's advance toward the kingdom of God through his love, his grace, and his power, not our own. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.